afternoon, and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Tuesday, to get you through this crisis in a world where few things feel reliable. We are reliable. You're listening to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. We got a lot to get to. We only have 3 hours to do it. Chief Carmen Best resigns from the Seattle Police Department. We'll tell you what that means. President Trump is speaking right now concerning the VP pick of Kamala Harris for Joe Biden. We're going to carry that live in a moment. Plus, Paul Gallant, our friend from 710 ESPN Seattle, is going to stop by. Some sporting-related event was canceled. I'm unsure what it's Pac something.
You're close.
12.
Pac-12. There you go.
There.
The entire season.
So we'll get into that. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Happening now.
Joe Biden chose Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential pick. President Donald Trump is reacting live for the first time today. We go to that in progress.
Go ahead.
Mr. President, two quick questions. One on Senator Harris. Very simply, is she going to help former Vice President Biden's chances in November, or is she not ready?
Well, I like Vice President Mike Pence much better. He is solid as a rock. He's been a fantastic vice president. He's done everything you can do. He's respected by every religious group, whether it's evangelical, whether it's any other group, they respect Mike Pence. He's been a great vice president, and I will take him over Kamala and the horrible way she, again, treated Justice Kavanaugh. That was a horrible event. I thought it was terrible for her. I thought it was terrible for our nation. I thought she was the meanest, the most horrible, most disrespectful of anybody in the U.S. Senate. She's also known, from what I understand, as being just about the most liberal person in the U.S. Senate. And I would have thought that Biden would have tried to stay away from that a little bit, because with what they're doing with open borders and sanctuary cities, where they're trying to protect sanctuary cities, which is also protecting large number of criminals, with all of the things that they're doing, Second Amendment, they want to take away your Second Amendment or modify it to a point where it's essentially no longer the Second Amendment. I would have thought he would have gone a different way. Thank you very much, everybody.
So that was President Donald Trump giving some early reaction. We're going to get into the choice of Kamala Harris as the vice presidential pick for Joe Biden in the next hour, as we spend some time collecting all of the audio of how mean she was towards Joe Biden, who she now supports. Before, she called him a virulent racist who was essentially a segregationist. But now, he deserves to be president because he will heal the racial tension.
Yeah, she didn't hold back on Joe Biden about 6 months ago.
It's just, and then there's that whole thing of she believes the Joe Biden accusers.
Tara Reid, yeah.
So, okay.
Boy.
Okay, we'll see how you get out of that. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Back the blue.
So let's just welcome you to the city of Seattle, a city where Black Lives Matter means your woke Seattle council chases out the city's first black female police chief in a profession that's dominated by white men. Let's just get that straight right now. That in the woke, progressive, tolerant Seattle City Council, they decided to push out Chief Carmen Best, who made her announcement yesterday that she was going to step aside. She would resign effective 3 weeks from today. The email went out to officers last night, and a press briefing occurred this morning.
To the men and the women of the Seattle Police Department, sworn and civilian, you will always have my respect. You will always be in my heart. You are, without a doubt, the best police department in the country.
She is correct. She is correct. SPD is among the best police departments in the entire country, and yet they are treated like trash. This council mistreats this police department anytime they can. And the penultimate act of that kind of disrespect and mistreatment was yesterday when the Seattle City Council passed their budget significant cuts hitting the Seattle Police Department to the point where 100 officers, primarily officers of color, will be fired. So this council pushes out the black female police chief with a plan that disproportionately targets black officers in woke Seattle. It is a bizarre day that when we push out Chief Carmen Best, we get Kamala Harris announced as VP. I hope people realize that here in Seattle. Chief Carmen Best did whatever she could to fight for her officers, but she decided yesterday that enough is enough. That she is not going to fire police officers. That she is not going to enact the budget demands coming from a council that has decided to completely ignore you and I. A council that decided to singularly focus their attention on a fringe group of activists whose ultimate goal is to not just defund the SPD by 50%, which is going to happen in the coming months. They want to abolish the SPD as we know it. They want to pretend that what happened in Minneapolis with George Floyd happens here with abandon. We know, of course, that that is not true. We know, as a matter of fact, that is not true. And yet the activists decided to march, and then they decided to riot, and then they decided to loot, and then they decided to commit arson, then they decided to try and kill officers, and then they decided to break down as many of the businesses that they could, including Amazon Go Markets and the Starbucks and the Key Bank and the Chase Bank. And instead of arresting them, they were rewarded. They were listened to. They were given a seat at the table, a seat that the chief of police didn't actually even have. And so she decided, Chief Carmen Best, after serving this community for nearly 30 years, she decided to call it quits. And it cannot be overstated how important the events of the last 24 hours will be in defining the city Seattle will become. We're at a crossroads. We're either going to go down this pathway that this council is pushing us down, which will lead to more crime, more homelessness, more addiction, more chaos, more lawlessness. Or we're going to course correct. And we're going to see this resignation as something more important than simply a police chief deciding to call it quits. We don't have that much time. We honestly don't have that much more time to spend around pretending that what this council is doing is in the best interest of this city. This is now on the people of Seattle to step up and push back. Because what happened yesterday to this police department and what happened to Chief Carmen Best is rather despicable. She made mention earlier today that it felt personal to her, that it was vindictive. That the council not only decided to cut 100 police officers, but they decided to cut her salary and the salary of her command staff just, what, 2 days after she criticized their plans. This council is filled with children. Children who are desperate to stay in power. Children who think the way to stay in power is to give in to the unreasonable fringe activists that push policy under threat of violence. When they showed up to Deborah Juarez's house and Alex Peterson's house, two Seattle City Council member, and they decided to threaten their lives if they don't vote the right way, That turned into domestic terrorism, in my view. And instead of call that out Andrew Lewis yesterday, my council member decided to say, oh, it's, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I had conversations with the mob. They're good people. Andrew Lewis right now decided he's going to listen to the fringe activists and not us. And now that's on us to punish him politically. Whether that means showing up to his house and protesting, because I guess he likes it. I'm not going to do that. That seems silly to me. It seems to go over the line, but I guess he doesn't think that. Or maybe it means a recall. We're all going to have to figure out what the next step is. Because I don't know what the next step is. I'm waiting to see how the city reacts in the coming few days. Carmen Best stepping down is very, very significant, and I pray that this will be a wake-up call. Because understand, we're not even going to get a new police chief anytime soon. We have an interim one, Adrian Diaz. Good man, been on the show. He's not a permanent replacement. Mayor Jenny Durkan pointed out, who would want to take this job right now?
I have no plans to begin a search this year. I think we have to make it through the budget season. We have to see what the council is willing to do for this department in the long run, because right now nobody would know what job they are applying for. As we reimagine policing, we have to be honest that there has to be a role for police. We need that for community safety. We need the other things too. And I have been saying it, and the chief have been saying it. We believe in that vision where we can have different kinds of responses to help people. And we've been working on that for 2 years, like through the creation of Health One. But at this moment of time, it would be not wise to start a process to look for a chief because, number one, the challenges are great. But again, what job would they be applying for? I'm hoping the council will come and join with us and we can collaborate on what that looks like together, centered on the voices of community and the deep engagement in community. But that will be up to council their part. My part is mayor, and with Chief Diaz, we're going to do that.
Nothing's going to happen. This council is going to continue down this path. And unfortunately, a lot of people are feeling scared right now. Rachel feels scared right now. She spoke to Como TV. She's concerned about the city acting in the name of politics instead of the name of public safety.
And I'd like to see them work with Chief Best. That's really a big concern of mine, is that they seem to have just sort of sidelined her.
Rod is scared right now. He's the president of the Building Owners and Managers Association here in Seattle and King County. He and so many other businesses were counting on more police officers because, hey, we were literally told by three sitting council members as they were running for election that they were pursuing and would pursue more police officers.
We've been asking the city for a couple hundred more police officers, and we thought they were agreeing with us, and all of a sudden this change and dropping these numbers down.
We were lied to. Dan Strauss lied to us. Andrew Lewis lied to us. Lisa Herbold lied to us. Shame on us for falling for the lie. Shame on you for falling for the lie. Shame on anyone who thought that we would get something different when putting into office essentially the same people that we've put into this council in the past. We all have to figure out what's coming next. We knew that this was going to be a losing battle yesterday. We knew it. And so now what? I keep hearing rumors of a recall. Are you all ready to actually devote time, energy, and some money to backing that campaign? Those campaigns cost money. During a pandemic, it's not always easy getting signatures. Certainly not in Seattle. Are you willing to put up some of the time that it's going to take to collect signatures? Because if it were up to me, I would immediately start a recall against Dan Strauss, Lisa Herbold, and Andrew Lewis. They lied to get into their position of power and privilege. They told us we would get more cops, and then they voted to fire them. They lied to us. They're not responding to emails coming in from constituents. You'll get a form email when you write to Andrew Lewis or Dan Strauss, for example. You won't get an actual response, though, because so many of you have forwarded me your many emails that you've sent to both of them completely ignored. So are you willing, truly willing, to not just complain about what's happening in Seattle with policing? Are you willing to step up and fight back? Because let's be clear, this is coming to your neighborhood. This does not stay in Seattle. And if you think I'm crazy, look at what happened just the other day in the city of Auburn. There are now demands by protesters there to defund the Auburn Police Department. I told you this would happen. Auburn activists and the families of people killed by police in this region, they gathered outside of that police department.
He has committed three of the entire force, five officers involved shootings since 2011.
Of course, they don't give you any of the details on that. They were there to support, for example, the family of Jesse Surrey. He was killed last year by an Auburn police officer.
They are simply killing people with reckless abandonment because there are no checks and balances. And when there are no checks and balances, power gets abused.
Power gets abused. Clearly, the cop abused his power in this particular case. That's according to the family. And they've got demands. They want to see a 50% cut to the Auburn Police Department. Hey, weird, where'd we hear that 50% cut before Seattle? They've got a whole bunch of demands. And they're hoping that you don't do a simple Google search into who Jesse Surrey was and the situation that led to his death. It appears that he was having some kind of mental health issue. It appears that he was having a mental health issue when he interacted with a police officer. And in that mental health issue, not only did he resist arrest, he fought the officer, he went for the officer's gun, oh, and he pulled out a folding knife from the officer's pocket. When you do that, you put your life on the line. The officer at that point is not going to step aside and say, well, you might be having a mental health issue, so here, let me make this easy. Here's my gun. Do what you will. They're going to protect themselves and they're going to protect others. We can have a very serious and meaningful conversation about mental health treatment. I think we've been needing to have that conversation for years. But I'm not going to pretend that this officer in this case was wrong for what he did. We've got video evidence of it. And yet activists are using this case the same way they use some other cases where clearly the suspect who was shot and killed was shot and killed because of acts that they decided to take that put the officers' lives on the line. I'm not going to sit here and give them a pass while they lie to the public, while they use propaganda, essentially, to go after cops. All cops are what? Yeah, you know the word. This spreads. And I need every single person right now who's listening to understand, if you don't step up and help out, once we figure out what those next steps are, this is going to come to your neighborhood. You are not immune in the city of Sumner. You are not immune in Sultan. They will come and they will try to make changes there because they just had a huge win in a major city. And they are feeling momentum on their side. So mentally, right now, you have to get prepared for the political fight. Because if we don't change the direction of the city of Seattle, we lose this entire region. I promise you, we will lose this entire region. No more will you say, oh, well, I live on the east side. I live in Bellevue. You know, whew, I get to avoid all the Seattle traffic. I get to avoid all the Seattle drug dealing. I get to avoid all of the Seattle lawlessness. You think it's not going to go over that bridge? Go back just a few weeks to the coordinated looting at the mall. You're listening to the Jason Rancho, 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. Coming up next, you're going to be joined on the line, SPOG President Mike Solon. He's going to be reacting to all this nonsense over the course of the last 24 hours. We're going to get to that and so much more when we return right here on the Jason Rancho. On AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. The Seattle City Council just made historic cuts to the SPD, and that means 100 officers going to be laid off in the coming days. Moments later, Chief Carmen Bess announced her retirement. She is stepping aside. Joining me on the line with his reaction is Mike Solon, the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. Officer Solon, welcome to the show.
Happy again, Jason. Thank you to be here.
So, obviously not the news that you wanted coming from the chief or the council first. What did you think when both of those decisions were put out there?
Profound sadness. And I'm extremely concerned about the direction and future path of this city in terms of public safety, because if they continue with this unreasonable activism that has swallowed our entire city, public safety issues are going to be on the first and foremost on everybody's mind, because crime will rise at a significant level. And I fear for people's safety, and that's not being alarmist or hyperbolic. That's going to be a reality. Right now, we're already facing at or below minimum safe staffing levels. We have three sitting council members who, less than a year ago, ran on a platform of more funding for police, more police officers. They actually dangled financial incentives to entice people to become a Seattle police officer. And yet now they're trying to do the slow march to now, which is a quick march, to 50% to funding. That started with this 2020 debacle, dangerous idea, which they moved on and passed yesterday. And then they will continue that slow march and now fast-paced march to get their 50% move in the 2021 budget cycle. But you know what? I think that they felt the pressure of the ignored reasonable community with our campaign at StopTheFunding.com, where we got 165,000 signatures in 8 days. That's why they had to walk a lot of back a lot of their rhetoric when they were initially pushing for complete 50% defund in the 20 budget cycle. I mean, these people are absolutely unreasonable, and they are not properly governing to the majority of Seattle citizens and leading us on a path of public safety nightmare.
Why do you think they're ignoring regular folks?
Because they are clearly governing by Twitter. And when we have 165,000 signatures, majority of them being Seattle zip code, saying, no, we do not support defunding. And there's been so much pushback from their constituents who signed this our petition. And when you're hearing the mayor and now former Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best really have an issue with the council's actions, it shows you that the council is on their own island. And just watching their Zoom council meetings, mm-hmm. It's clear to me as a Seattle resident, they do not represent the overall majority and the mood of the reasonable Seattle citizen, and they're governing by Twitter, which is a small microcosm of our community. It's absolutely outrageous.
As a result of this move, if I call 911 because there's an emergency in progress, what will my experience be?
You're going to wait. I've compared to this defunding nonsense, and they've already made moves to get us to that 50% dangerous idea. We're already at or below minimum safe staffing levels. I've already said that. Now they're going to remove 100 more positions. Jason, we're bigger than this, than Boston, our population-wise. But we have half the cops that Boston does. And right now, when the council ran on a platform for more officers, up to 200, even more, but now they're moving for political pandering purposes to defunding us. We're in a dire situation here, and people are going to wait for cops to come up to their residents to assist them or wherever they are asking for 911 for help. Investigations are going to be taking more time. And this is a serious situation that is going to visit everybody's doorstep and be a reality, impacting quality of life in the city of Seattle.
Mike Solon is joining me on the line. He is the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. We're talking about the decision by the council to cut up to 100 police officers in the coming days. It will impact the entirety of the navigation team. It'll impact school resource officers, the Harbor Patrol, the SWAT team. And of course, we also have now a department that doesn't have their chief of police. Interim chief Adrian Diaz is stepping in now for Chief Carmen Bess, who's been with the department for almost 30 years. Did this take you off guard?
I'm not surprised. It doesn't take me off guard. And what I'm still just amazed by, and is just the actions by this council, who are so far progressive to the left and their radical ideology, which is just swallowing this city and leading us on a path of what I believe is just being just so naive and dangerous that, I'm very concerned. I mean, I have yet to hear one council person show concern with for the officers who've been hurt in these riots. I mean, this is where we are. I have so much concern when you have the public safety chair from District 1, Councilmember Herbold, advocating firing of officers to put forth their defund plan based upon the officers' race. That obviously, that's a violation of law and civil rights law.
Yeah.
But this is what we're up against of this type of unreasonable activism. And so what's next? That's why I'm still amazed. Like, I don't know what's next. And I like to be a positive thinker to try to tactically outthink them. But I don't know what's next. So I still can't even get the words out of my mouth to properly describe how I'm feeling about this.
How do the officers feel?
A lot of anxiety about their job status. I mean, these are amazing human beings that this union represents. I mean, these people give their lives to this job. It's an oath of service. It takes a special person to be a cop. And it takes a special person to be a cop in Seattle. I mean, we are in a far left progressive city, and we love this city. We love serving its citizens. But this is at a level I've never expected before, this unreasonable activism. And this is unheard of. And as if it's almost as if the council, the people that comprise it, are trying to be the most woke human beings in elected office across our nation. It's like they're trying to lead the way, the blueprint to their ideology, which is so far away from reality, from the average citizen in the city, that it's still just mind-blowing to me. It's amazing.
We haven't even
been brought to the table to discuss any of this, but yet we're the first persons, human beings, who serve the city. We're the ones that are going to be impacted by it, number one. But more importantly, the biggest impact is going to be on the citizens of this community. I mean, people are going to be desperate for public safety because there won't be a cop available in time to assist you in a reasonable time frame. I mean, this is where we are. This is utter nonsense. And let's be clear. This is a power grab, and it's a money grab. It's a money grab to fill the coffers of the activist organization. And this homeless population will explode even more. Major public safety issue here. Major.
Do you have any belief that right now this will finally be the wake-up call to the Seattle constituency, that they'll actually stand up and start to speak up a little bit more and maybe even push forward with a recall election, something?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And, you know, you've asked me this question before. It's like, you know, are they out there supporting us? Well, you know what? In 8 days, man, our Stop Defunding campaign, StopDefunding.com. We got 165,000 signatures, majority of them Seattle zip codes. people are saying, okay, this is going way too far. This is going way too far. How can you reimagine policing when you haven't even brought the police officers that do the job to the table? I mean, you got three council members who ran on a campaign platform to bring in more people to do this policing job in the city of Seattle.
Yeah, Dan Strauss, Lisa Herbold, Andrew Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, on our Spog social media and our YouTube channel, we made a video link on that called Hypocrisy 101. I mean, that is the height of hypocrisy. But hey, I think there's going to be more outrageous actions coming from that council that, you know, I think people are talking about referendum issues and other issues on top of how to hold these elected officials accountable, because they're clearly not governing to the reasonable community in the city that are demanding public safety, more officers than less officers.
This council is not done with what they're doing. It's very clear that their intent is to abolish the police department, at least as we know it. And I'll give you the last word.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is their march to abolish us, and they're going to do it with activism. Get us to that 50% to fund where we become a feckless police agency. And the real victims here are the citizens of this city. And we're all for reimagining, because we serve at the will of this community, right? We serve them. But I do not believe that community is being served by the sitting council right now. And that's the problem, is that we have a governing body that is dictating unreasonable activist political movements that has all of us being held hostage by that activism. Serious problem.
For folks who want to learn more about ways they can get involved, go right now to stopdefunding.com. Stopdefunding.com. You can also link up to all of their videos on their YouTube channel, social media platform. Just go to stopdefunding.com. We've been talking with Officer Mike Solon. He's the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. Thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
You bet, Jason.
You're listening to KTT. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. We are live on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. I was going to go on Tucker Carlson tonight.
Wait.
Kamala Harris.
You were going to go on Tucker?
I was going to.
But you're not on Tucker anymore.
I was the lead. and then Kamala Harris news happened, which just gives me another... You know, I was going to vote for them.
No, you weren't.
But now
no,
I will not. Yeah, I was not going.
Not
to.
Even close. You weren't going to.
Yeah, but I am kind of bummed. So maybe I'll be on tomorrow. We'll see.
Don't count on it.
Yeah, I won't.
They're over you.
I know.
Kamala's the new thing in town.
I know. We'll talk about the Kamala Harris pick at the top of the next hour. But first, I want to talk about another viral video. We're either getting viral videos of people complaining that someone's not wearing a mask and yelling, or the opposite. People getting mad that you are wearing a mask. I don't quite understand the getting mad that someone's wearing a mask bit. That part I don't get. I get why someone who says you should be wearing a mask because if you don't, you're making my life more dangerous, right? You're putting my health on. Okay, fine. It doesn't matter if you agree with whether or not masks work. They do. But it doesn't matter. Push that aside. We can understand intellectually where that's coming from. But if I walk into a store and I see someone wearing a mask, why would that upset me? Why would that upset anybody?
You mean that doesn't just fire you up?
I honestly don't understand it.
Me neither.
And yet here we are out of Tucson, Arizona, where a dude who I believe is maybe in his mid-40s, late-40s, he throws a total tantrum because people are wearing a mask. In a grocery store. And it got so bad, his poor son, who I think originally maybe was on the bandwagon of no mask because he wasn't wearing a mask, and maybe was like, okay, dad does this sometimes, I'll just let him go. The son had to literally carry the dad out of the store. Literally, bear hug, pick him up, walk outside of the store. And of course, it was caught on cell phone video.
People won't learn. These people won't learn. You're a bunch of idiots wearing masks. You know it's not real.
Okay. What's not real? The coronavirus or the efficacy of masks? I will give you someone who says the efficacy of masks is overblown because of mixed messaging. Again, I think if you do a Google search, you'll find that to be not the case. But okay, I'll give you that one. Are you now pretending the virus isn't, like, that's totally not real? That didn't happen?
Don't act like this is the first time you've heard somebody say the coronavirus is a hoax.
But it's just, I'm so confused by all of this.
Look at you fools. You got a f***ing doily on your face.
Okay, that part was funny. You don't need, you know, wear a, do a mask.
Makes me think, what kind of mask is this person wearing? Like, is it lace?
Who's the idiot who told me you can put socks over your face as a mask?
Is that me?
Yeah.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
I saw a video.
So dumb.
I love Facebook
that part,
videos.
You can go, if you see that, go ahead and yell at that person, because that's just disgusting. Because you know, by the way, they didn't clean the socks.
You look like you f***ing got it off your mom's countertop. You look like an idiot. You're a child. Try to make you wear a mask.
Shut up.
You're a dork. Look at you, you f***ing dork. What are you going to do?
Dad, come on, dad, it's enough, dad. Now you're embarrassing me, dad.
Because this guy doesn't want his dad to be a bully, just his, half this dad's argument is, you look like a dork.
Yeah.
That's not an argument.
I mean, they did look like dorks, but that's not a reason to do this in public.
I can't imagine the first time that this dad saw a man bun and, hey, you look like a dork. You have a man bun.
Why do you have ladies' hair?
You look like a dork, you idiot.
Outside. Come outside and show me how tough you are. Here we go. I'll beat that mask off your face like a
Now he's literally getting picked up.
Wear a mask. Woo, loser.
He's still going. I don't get that one.
There's so much
this
I don't get.
This one I don't understand.
There's so much I don't get.
I understand so much, not this. Not this one. Meanwhile, gyms that are reopening are now subjected to this new set of rules coming from Governor Jay Inslee. They went into effect yesterday. Social distancing between the pieces of equipment at gyms are now 17 feet, presumably because when people are lifting, they grunt, and maybe when they grunt, little droplets come out of their mouth. Ugh! The person who, by the way, doesn't need to grunt. You're doing it because you want attention.
Jason, you haven't lifted over 50 pounds in like 12 years.
I went to the gym the other day.
And did you lift something that was over 50 pounds?
I did.
What did you lift?
I got up and pushed myself on a bike.
So you lifted yourself?
Yes. More than 50 pounds.
No, you have to lift something.
And you know what I didn't do? I didn't do this.
Look, if you see me power cleaning or deadlifting, mind your own business. If I'm grunting over there,
you grunt?
Yeah, if I'm lifting a lot of weight.
You go like,
if I'm lifting a lot of weight, I'll
grunt.
Let
Not
something out.
Not like a little like that, kind of keeping it reserved.
Probably you go somewhere right in the middle. I don't go full tennis player on my grunt, but...
Okay, that's who I'm talking about.
The tennis players?
Yeah, the
okay.
Gotcha. And like, why'd you just do that? All you did was sit down on the bench and you're grunting like that. And so when you do that, all the droplets of COVID go out. So now you have to be separated by 17 feet. King 5 says the number of people allowed in gyms, fitness facilities, fitness classes will now be limited by the size of their space under the new guidance. Occupancy in facilities and gyms that are larger than 12,000 square feet have to be capped at 25%, which is just a ridiculous random number that is not based in sound science. 24-hour Fitness in downtown Seattle put up signs on equipment that basically says you can't use it, so people skip it and can maintain the 17 feet distance between. What they're doing, and I imagine people won't like this, especially because it's called 24-hour fitness, which the whole thing is, you know what, if I want to go to the gym on Friday at 11 p.m., I'm going to head on over. You have to sign up, and you get 90-minute increments of exercise, which, by the way, you're not spending 90 minutes in the gym. Stop this nonsense. That sounds awful. You're going for 17 minutes. You pretend that it's been an hour, and then you go out, and when people say, oh, you're back so soon. Oh, no, I was there for about an hour. I was there for an hour.
Yeah, you round
up. Really, you left at the beginning of this House Hunters episode, and we're just now finding out that the couple picked house number three, and the show's only 27 minutes.
You're also forgetting about the people, though, who go to the gym, and while they're sitting on a machine, they go on Facebook in between sets.
That's
and
what
they
I did.
They just scroll through their entire Facebook feed for a solid, like, 6 minutes, taking up an entire bench press.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, guy, can you get off?
You
I'm
do 10 reps. 10 reps, and then you pause for a little bit of a break, because you're supposed to. You're supposed to give a little bit of a 60-second rest, except that 60 seconds is 7.5 minutes because you caught a YouTube video. So now you got to sign up for 90-minute increments, and between the 90-minute increments, they do a cleaning for about 30 minutes.
Are they going to rebrand to 90-minute fitness instead of 24-hour fitness?
I mean, I suppose it's still open 24 hours a day. You just have to go during certain times. That part seems annoying to me. Right or no? People care.
I'm done going to the gym. I built my own at-home gym during coronavirus, so I'm done going to the gym.
It's like it's 12 pounds, man. Just stop. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. Get up. And then you got the stupid weight belt on.
It's safety, Jason.
Yeah, safety. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. When we come back, we're diving into the Kamala Harris pick.